You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location in Division Street in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye the Movie Guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we worry about December 21st for a long time coming up, 2012. Yeah. It passed us by, but we're still covering our favorite Armageddon movies.
Doomsday,
end of the world type stuff.
Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
You know, it's funny because I heard that the Mayan calendar, that whole thing was total BS and not for the reason you suspect. They didn't account for leap year. The Mayans didn't account for leap year, so according to the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012 actually happened like about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, boy, all that hype for nothing.
Yeah, yeah, and little did we know back then, because then we would have at least gotten two parties out of it.
No doubt.
Partied like an MF-er out there, did you?
No, I didn't. You were at Doomsday on Division.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people want their money back since Doomsday didn't take place.
They didn't die, so.
What a shame. But you know what? Also, we didn't want to do this podcast before
Doomsday?
Right. In case there was a Doomsday, and boy, would we look foolish then.
Yeah.
So we waited until then, but we are going to be covering our top five end-of-the-world Armageddon-type movies, and joining us in a little bit is an awesome guest. He's been on Cinema Jaw once before.
Mr. Jonathan Finn will be here.
Yeah, I can't wait. He just did a set down at Shenanigans.
Yeah, he's a comedian extraordinaire, multimedia artist, and looking forward to talking to him.
Can't wait to get him back on Jaw. In addition to that, we go eye for an eye on Gangster Squad. We are stacked with reviews. Django Unchained, The Hobbit, The Impossible, plus DVD reviews of Savages and Thin Ice.
Cool.
Plus Jonathan versus Matt Kay in Barbara Streisand,
Seth Rogen
movie trivia. Good luck with that, Matt.
Going down.
I think I got one side of it covered. I don't know. I'll leave it up to your imagination which side.
Plus a cinema war looking at what was the biggest movie in 2012. We're going to argue that.
Yes,
and a whole lot more. So without further ado, we bring in our guest. He's been on Cinema Jaw once before. He is the Renaissance man himself, Jonathan Finn, comedian extraordinaire. Welcome back to Cinema Jaw.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Good, man. So just got fresh off the stage.
Yes.
Sweat stain still on the shirt.
There actually is a huge sweat stain on my shirt.
I mean, literally just got off the stage about like 20 minutes
20
ago.
20 minutes ago, yeah.
And I like your shirt, by the way.
Thanks.
Did you make that yourself?
I did make that myself.
It says huge dick for the listeners.
Actually, it says I like soccer a lot, and there's a Swedish soccer star. His name is Hugo Dick. So I'm a huge fan. But a lot of people says it says huge dick, and so I wear it, and people are like, do you have one or are you one? And I say, neither. I have a small penis, and I'm a really nice guy, and that's why I wear this shirt. No, actually, you can buy
shirt. That's probably accurate, though,
you can
John.
Buy this shirt if you... is quite accurate. Don't give away my secrets. You can buy the shirt if you go to eatshirtanddie.com. You can buy one. So
is that one of the things you're doing? Is that one
of
yours?
That's one of my side projects is Eat Shirt and Die. What a great name for a t-shirt company, right?
Yes. It sure is.
Thanks.
I like it. Now, I noticed on the set there, I caught the tail end of it. You were up there with guitar. How often do you sing in your sets? Is that a staple of yours?
I think so. There's not a whole lot of people doing it right now. You know, like there's a handful of guitar comics. I don't like to rely on it too much, so I like to do like 50-50. But I have some Christmas songs, and you only have like 1 month to do it, you know. And this year I started early, like November came around, Thanksgiving. I was like, I'm gonna do my Christmas shit. So, it was all right. It was a decent set. I felt like last week was a way better set, but it was still fun. It was still a good show. Fun show.
Definitely.
That guy who won tonight, what's his face? He was good.
Yeah.
That was funny. So that's good.
Vincent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was good. It was a tight match, though.
It was good, yeah, yeah. Danny Cowles is good.
And, of course, we're speaking of...
the Shenanigans Comedy Challenge, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Also, Jonathan, it should be mentioned that you are all over the internet with your videos.
There.
You are on Break.com, YouTube.com, Funny or Die, and some of these videos are absolutely hysterical.
Thanks.
Especially the ones where you're licking people. And I'm sure there's people, jawheads out there that did not catch you the first time here on Cinema Jaw.
Sure.
So tell us again about these lick videos.
Oh, the licking chicks. Well, you know, a few years ago at a bar, like being drunk, I just, you know, went up to a girl. I was like, what's the best way to meet a girl? And I just tried going up to a girl. I licked her arm. And
this before you asked her the question or after?
No, this is before anything. I was just like, I'm gonna lick somebody, and I just licked her arm, and she was like, "Oh my god, that's so gross! You're hilarious." And then I was like, "Okay, that works." And then my buddy and I, like we would do, we would go out to bars, we'd get wasted, and we'd be like, "Who are we gonna lick? Who are we gonna lick?" And we found that there's such a broad range of reactions. Some girls would get pissed and be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Other girls would be like, "Oh my god, you're so funny. Let me see who else you licked." So we did it over time. We like went out and actually filmed me licking a variety of girls in the park, on the street, in the mall, and
cops.
I put all the footage together, like, you know, 100 little clips, and I put it to the song "Lollipop, Lollipop, Oh Lolly Lolly," and that was a big like sensation a few years ago. And then I did the gay pride parade. That was the second one where I went around to the gay pride parade and licked all kinds of things and, and people, and that was fun.
We're not sure if they're chicks. They may or may not have been.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You never know at the Chicago Pride.
I definitely got tested after I went around and licked up there. I licked a porta potty. I licked a porta potty on Halsted during the gay pride parade.
Whoa.
Yes.
Let me move my seat back.
Jesus.
You can
man.
See that in the second episode on my YouTube channel.
And it should also be mentioned, sort of tying in with this episode, doomsday, end of the world type stuff. You just recently shot a video with a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
Doomsday pizza, actually.
Doomsday pizza. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I have this bit. It's called Tips or Tits. And I have my girlfriend, and we have a friend of ours is a model, and she's got huge tits. Every week we order a food, and when the delivery guy comes, we have the hot chick with the big boobs and her in lingerie and offer the guy, you want a tip or do you want to see her tits? And we get, again, a broad range of reactions.
Okay, so does any of these guys, how many have you done?
We've done 10.
Geez. Okay. Yeah, so yeah. I've seen maybe three or four of them myself. Has anyone said, just give me the tip? I don't want to see boobs?
I'd say half of them.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
wrong
with these?
Probably at least almost half. Yeah. Four or five have been tips. Which
are
is
they
sad.
Scared? Or is it like, what's tips going on here?
Again, it's like such a broad range of reaction. Excuse me. A couple guys were nice. Scared. And I think they just didn't know how to react.
Because they got a camera in their face.
Well, that's it. But like one Asian guy was like totally offended. Like he didn't even want to look. But then the last guy we got, he came in and he whipped out his penis.
Really?
And he wanted to like get down. He thought he was going to be in a porno. He thought he was going to be the delivery guy coming to deliver a pizza, and he ends up in a porno. He totally thought that was going to happen, which is what we made him think was going to happen.
So how did you defuse that situation?
Well, this is how I did. I'm like, all right, well, because we kept like pushing it to see how far we could take it. And we're like, we're going to be in a porno. He's like, yeah, I'm down. And we're like, okay, well then we have to see what you're made of. So show us your junk. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he just whips out his penis. He's like, here you go. And we're all like, oh my god, we weren't expecting that. And then after that, I was like, okay, well, girls, there's two girls in there. I'm like, do you think that he's got what it takes? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, let's make this porno. And then I took my shirt off, and I gave the camera to my girlfriend. And I'm like, my girlfriend's going to record, and the other girl is the director. It's me and you, buddy. And he's like, oh, no. It's That's hilarious. Yeah,
Is that on the video?
If you go to tipsortits.com, yeah, it's in there. All of it's. And then what I do is I put a little black bar. She shows her tits in the episode, too. And I put a black bar over his dick and then her tits. But it's hilarious. It runs the gamut of human emotion. Tips or tits. It really does.
That's a great skit right there. I love it. Speaking of the .coms, it's on tipsortits.com. What are the other areas that can find the Jawheads can find Jonathan Finn's videos?
If you go to jonathanfinn.com, that's probably the easiest way. And then there's all the social media links. There's the Facebook and the YouTube. If you just Google Jonathan Finn or go to jonathanfinn.com, you'll find a bunch of stuff from me. So.
And you got an Indiegogo thing going right now,
right? I do have an Indiegogo thing, you know, and I feel bad because it's like I hate asking for money, you know, but it's like I just lost my job and I need to push it more. But yeah, I do have an Indiegogo. So if it's just Indiegogo.com/Jonathan Finn, you can check out the video and try to see the projects that you'll be supporting, one of which would be tipsortits.com because those pizzas don't buy themselves. So, yeah, it's been good. I raised a couple $100. I just started. I'm trying to raise $20,000, which is a lofty goal, but I'm going to do some corporate sponsorships and get some people involved. And
And the videos are killing on Funny or Die. They're like 87% funny.
Yeah, you know, they're not. It's not bad.
Pushing 90.
Elias posted one on Reddit the other day, and it blew up, and it got like a lot of upvotes. And then it was like the next day, I had 15,000 views.
Wow, you know,
which is a lot for me overnight. So
that is awesome.
When you get to post the Cinema Jaw on Reddit, Elias.
Yeah, no, you guys should actually talk about that. That one specifically, that video is that video series. I think is awesome, Jonathan's. I'm a huge fan. The debt collectors.
Yeah. I could work that in. I could work in product placements for you guys. Seriously, because what I could say on the next time another show I have is debt collectors, and that's where I don't have an income and I can't pay my credit card bills, and they're calling me every day wanting to collect on their money. So every time they call,
I saw one of these too.
I see who it is. I turn on my video camera and I record. Me talking to them, recording me talking about my debt, and I give crazy excuses about why I can't pay. You know, like I said, well, like the last episode, I was like, oh man, I don't have any money right now, but I just got an email from a prince in Nigeria, and it turns out I am related to some royalty in Nigeria who just died. He left me a big sum of money. All I need to do is send up some credit card info and my social security number, and they're going to send me $1.2 million. And the lady's like, uh-huh. And they have to play along because, you know.
It sounded like she wasn't even listening.
I know. Well, that one, she was actually the meanest one. The other few other episodes, they're actually very nice. They play along, and it's...
I was going to say, I can only imagine a lot of these people calling. They're probably looking at a computer, what to go to if they say this. And as he's giving this story, they're just scrolling down like, where the hell does this go?
Oh, yeah. They have like a script they have to stick to, you know? They even have like
Dude,
codes for it.
It's the same thing. It's like, yeah, can I talk? This is how I do. I'm like, they're like, I answer the phone. I see who it is. And I have to set up all the, you know, stuff, like the camera. So I'm like, I answer the phone like this. Hello? And they're like, yeah, is John Finnerty there? And I'm like, hold on. And then I put him on hold. I set up all my stuff, and I'm like, hello? And they're like, can I speak with John Finnerty? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is he. And then they go through the same thing. Hi, this is so-and-so from FIA Card Services, and we're calling to collect debt. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality purposes.
So right there they gave you permission, which is one of the things I noticed in your video. You, like, flash that up. This call may be monitored or recorded.
Well, I put that up there, actually, because this is interesting. The very first one that I did, they said that. That's the very first thing they say. This call may be recorded or monitored, and I was recording, too. And I said, that's interesting because I'm recording this call, too. I record all my calls, and don't you hate the way your voice sounds on tape? I sound so nasally. And she was like, uh-huh, well, hold on. She comes back like 15 seconds later, and she's like, well, sir, because you're recording this, we can't continue this conversation. And I was like, wait, you can record me, but I can't record you? She's like, those are the rules, so we can't talk anymore. And I was like, so wait, every time you call, all I have to do is say I'm recording, and then we can never discuss how much money I owe you.
Wow, you found a loophole there.
I did. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, I found a loophole. And she's like, I guess you did. She was a black lady. She's like, I think you did. She's kind of laughing, you know. So
that's awesome.
That is great.
Yeah, it's fun.
So definitely check out Jonathan's videos. Yeah. They are a laugh a second, I tell you, at jonathanfinn.com.
And Debt Collector Chronicles. If you go to just YouTube and Google Debt Collector Chronicles, you can find that last bit.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jonathan's going to be sitting in on this entire Cinema Jaw. And we start off here going eye for an eye, interested or ignore on Gangster Squad. And eye for an eye is sponsored by
MoviePass. Jonathan, you got to hear
MoviePass. When you want to see a flick, don't be a dick. Get off your ass. MoviePass.
You gotta love it.
I just wrote that jingle right now. What do you guys think?
I think they're gonna be their official jingle guy.
I'm
so, do you know about this thing?
No, I've never heard of it. What is MoviePass?
So, it's basically, this is the easiest way to pitch it, Netflix for movies in the theater. You pay $29.99. Is that right, Ryan?
A month, yep.
Yeah, a month. Unlimited movies in the theater.
That sounds like a deal.
If you go to see a lot of movies like we do, it's a hell of a good deal.
Does it cover like adult movies?
You know what? Some theaters, if they accept Discover, you're in like Flynn.
Yeah, I tell you, MoviePass is accepted at all the theaters here in Chicago. I've used it 3 times recently, Matt. It's so easy to use. You go right up to the kiosk, you get your tickets. You feel like a king.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that, Ryan. I've used it a few times. I love it.
Yeah. Check out MoviePass from our website at CinemaJaw, or you can also go to MoviePass/CinemaJaw, and we have invitations to sign up to their subscription.
Yep. When you want to go and see a flick, Don't be a dick. Get off your ass. MoviePass.com.
Wonderful.
We're going to get paid extra for that one.
How about it? Eye for an Eye is Gangster Squad, a chronicle of the LAPD's fight to keep East Coast mafia types out of Los Angeles in the 1940s and 50s. The film stars Sean Penn, Ryan Gosling, Josh Brolin, and Emma Stone. Matt, interested or ignore on Gangster Squad?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer on this one. It looks basically like it's kind of a knockoff, like a mob version of Inglourious Basterds. I don't know, man. I guess I'm interested. It's got a great cast.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. There's something a little bit off-putting about some of the trailers. You got Sean Penn made up, and it looks sort of almost comic book-esque in a way on screen.
No, I'd give you that one.
And I don't know. I'm semi-interested, but really for the purpose of interest or ignore, I'm going to give it an ignore. I like the cast. I like the cast. I just don't know if it's really going to be worth seeing in the theater. I'll probably give it a spin on DVD.
I was right on the fence myself.
Sure. Speaking of new movies, we got out and saw a bunch of them. We're starting off, Matt, with Django Unchained. Elias, roll clip one.
Do you know what a bounty hunter is?
You kill people. And they give you a reward?
Badder they are, bigger the reward.
I'm looking for the Brittle Brothers. However, I don't know what they look like, but you do. They called my wife. They sold him. But I don't know who to.
Calvin Candy.
That's the repellent gentleman who owns her.
Broomhilda is my property. And I can choose to do with my property whatever I so desire.
Help me find the Brittle Brothers, and I'll take you to rescue your wife.
Let's get to it.
Quentin Tarantino's newest film, Matt, celebrates the spaghetti western while also diving into our country's ugly history when it comes to slavery. Christoph Waltz plays Dr. Schultz, a bounty hunter who frees Django, played by Jamie Foxx, from slavery in return for his help in tracking down three brothers that have a hefty bounty on their heads. The two of them make a wonderful team hunting down the brothers, so much so that Dr. Schultz agrees to help Django find his wife after they are done collecting some more bounties. Enter Leonardo DiCaprio, who plays Calvin Candy, a plantation owner who currently owns Django's wife. They hatch a plan to get Django's wife back from Mr. Candy. But Matt, it will not be easy. Christoph Waltz is amazing from start to finish, as is DiCaprio. The main scene in the movie, which takes place at Candyland, nickname of DiCaprio's plantation, is an absolute joy to watch. I was smiling from ear to ear the entire time. Tarantino gives us yet another memorable moment in film. The movie does overstay its welcome, though, running about 20 minutes too long, I felt, all of which is anticlimactic another sort of downer. He should have ended it 25 minutes earlier. It would have went out on a high note. That said, I do still highly recommend this one. A couple of great performances, plus a couple of great scenes, one which is epic. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 Jaws.
Is this up there with Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, it's always tough to say because I've seen so many of Tarantino's films multiple times and only seeing this one once. It's tough to put it in ranking right away. You know what I mean?
I think you know, though. You got like a feeling.
Yeah, I don't know if it has that classic feeling of a Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction. I'd put it in there with the Kill Bill series.
Jackie Brown? Yeah.
Yeah, in between Jackie Brown and Kill Bill, maybe.
Okay.
Definitely worth checking out, but
Did you see it yet, Jonathan?
No, I didn't, but I wanted to see it. It was playing right next. I went and saw This Is 40 on Christmas, and it was Django Unchained was playing right next, and there was a lot more people going to see Django Unchained.
How was this? This is 40.
You know what? I've seen Judd Apatow's movies, and it was better than I expected. You know, I'm a huge, like, I don't like anything, so it was okay. It was, again, a little bit too long, I think. Like, again, 20 minutes too long, but it was decent. There was a couple of funny moments. My mom laughed. It was really weird. I went and took my mom on Christmas. The opening scene, the past two movies I've seen, the opening scene, I'm sitting with my mom. The opening scene's two people having sex in the shower, and it's like, I'm like looking over at my mom, and I'm like, Mom, can I have some Junior Mints? Like, what do you say, you know? And then, like, you know, I went and saw Flight with my mom, too. And same thing. He's like, coke and, you know, banging some chick right. And flushing weed down the toilet. When he flushed the weed down the toilet, I was like, I gasped. I was like, oh. And then my mom looks at me. I'm like, oh, never mind. But yeah, yeah.
How many jaws? We go on a 4-jaw scale. How many jaws for This Is 40?
I don't know. I would say maybe 2.5 jaws.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. Again, I'm a tough critic. I'd say it's on par with Knocked Up. So if you like Knocked Up, you'd like this. And I like Knocked Up.
Knocked Up was pretty good.
Judd Apatow has like a very specific thing that he's doing, and this is very much in line with what he's done before. So
Gotcha. So he's not expanding the horizons.
No.
Okay.
Also, Matt, we were off a week for the holidays, but The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, came out, and Peter Jackson's latest Middle Earth adventure is long, filled with moments of excitement, but also filled with moments of boredom. In my opinion, the story starts off slow. I did not find it necessary to spend 25, 30 minutes with the dwarves at Bilbo's house before the adventure. There were other moments, such as a stop at Rivendell, where I felt the editor could have done a better job as well. The highlight for me was the 20 minutes or so that the creature Gollum is on screen. Andy Serkis does a phenomenal job, Matt, bringing the character to life again. While I did enjoy the action scenes near the end of this first chapter, at the same time, they reminded me way, way too much of the scenes I've seen in the first Lord of the Rings films. I had the same feeling, too, Matt, when it came to the hero. While I liked Martin Freeman's Bilbo, I did not feel the same bond I did with Elijah Wood's Frodo. To me, it seemed the thrill of the adventure felt in Lord of the Rings was missing here. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, a disappointing 1.5 jaws.
You are out of your damn mind.
Talk to me, buddy.
So, okay, Gandalf fighting goblins. Boom, rest my freaking case right there.
When he's throwing those flaming pine cones, you mean?
Yeah, what? Yeah. That's... For one thing, sure. He gets Glamdring his sword in this
pine
movie.
Cones. Who cares?
He. It's Gandalf at his best. He's smoking weed and he's hanging out with dwarves. I mean, this is like the fantasy movie. I mean, Lord of the Rings was awesome, and now we get more of it. It was fantastic. 25 minutes wasn't enough for me in Bilbo's Hobbit Hole.
You didn't feel it was a bit redundant again? Like, here we go on this adventure again. They got to go through the mountain. It all seemed all the exact same.
No, and when they start singing, you know, like, through caverns dark and mountains cold.
Wait, they start singing?
Cold.
Yeah, the dwarves are singing. It's ridiculous.
Of course they sing.
Wait, but was the precious guy singing? Was he singing, precious? Like, how does that guy
That would
sing?
Have been entertaining.
He didn't sing. No, just the dwarves. Been good. Just the dwarves. This was
Snow White.
Fantastic adventure. The special effects are even better than the first movies. The action was off the charts.
But did not the action remind you a lot of Lord of the Rings? Where there was
of course it is Lord of the Rings.
No, it's too much. It's too redundant for me. I was just like, oh, come on, not this again.
What did you expect, Ryan? I mean, it's the Hobbit.
I mean, just to take it somewhere a little bit different.
When you saw the spiders crawling through the forest, that didn't do anything for you?
Yeah, very little, very little.
All right, you're obviously just not a Hobbit fan.
And I know you had to be upset with me, too. They got to start the whole thing with Frodo, talking about how he's going to meet Gandalf, and it sort of goes right up to the beginning of the Lord of the Rings. They could have skipped all that. That would have saved us 10, 15 minutes. The thing runs like 2 hours and 50 minutes. This the first movie of three. It's way too long, man. Way too long.
Let me ask you real quick. Were you a fan of the books? Because I think that makes
a
difference.
Are you asking me or Ryan?
I'm asking you.
No, I haven't even read the books.
Okay, that makes a difference.
Yes, I've read the books. I actually have. I'm rereading The Hobbit now. I saw the film and it inspired me to reread it. It's a short story. I agree with you. They threw in a lot of the stuff from the appendices and things like that to sort of pad it out. And I felt it all worked, man. It was great to see all the characters again, the original actors, for the most part. And I felt it was great. It's a little long-winded, and that's my only criticism. Otherwise, it was a lot of fun, man. The dwarves and the goblins and the orcs and the trolls were fantastic. That whole scene with the trolls?
Yeah, it was all right.
Oh, come on. You need to lighten up, boy.
And we had mentioned...
Barbara Streisand was in that movie?
We had mentioned previous Jaw, Elias had joked about how we're not even going to see the dragon Smaug, and boy was he right. That little teaser of the eye opening at the end, predictable was that?
I actually think I called that one.
Yeah, well, I don't care. It was boring. They could have showed us more of the dragon. Jesus.
No, you're just going to see his eye open at the end. That was the Godzilla moment.
It was terrible. I can't wait till the dragon starts talking and it's Sean Connery.
It's gonna be. I wonder who is doing his voice.
I don't know.
So I'm
gonna
spit acorns and fireballs at you. That's my Sean Connery.
And it was terrible.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. It wasn't as good as the Movie Pass jingle, but it's all right.
Now I gave The Hobbit 1.5 jaws. Disappointing. No. What do you give it, Matt?
Three. 3.25.
Wow, 3.25. Jaw
it was a little long, and this one's we're just getting started, but it's a hit. I like it.
All right, one last one. The Impossible is out in theaters. Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor star in the film based on the true story of one family's experience during the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami. Their family was vacationing in Thailand when it hit. A wave of water destroyed the resort they were staying in and separated the family. We then see the struggle of survival and the search for other family members. Naomi Watts, Matt, gives a performance that stands out as an injured mother still trying to take care of her oldest child, even when she is near death. This film will bring you to tears more than a few times. Rye the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 Jaws for The Impossible. Pretty powerful stuff.
You need to smoke some wizard's weed. And just chill out here with the Impossible.
I got some.
Well, maybe at break. Maybe at break. I did miss, though. We did Eye for an Eye Gangster Squad. Sean Penn is in that. And I threw this out to the Jawheads, and I wanted to ask you guys, too. We call it Jaw 101. Describe one subject in one word. This week, we got Sean Penn. Jonathan, do you have one word that describes Sean Penn?
Jeez. I would say pissed. Like, that guy just is pissed all the time. Like, his face is so wrinkly. He just has a permanent scowl. I don't know if it's because he misses Madonna or if he can't solve the African problems over there. But, like, I mean, I kind of like him. I kind of like Sean Penn. He's a serious dude, and I like that. But he just seems like he's pissed off.
I agree. His face a lot of times looks like he's wearing wet underwear, you know?
Yeah, it's all wrinkly, and it's weird, yeah.
I was going to go a different route and actually say professional.
Sure, yeah.
Professional actor, and we don't have a ton of them. A lot of times, you never feel the guys. You see Sean Penn, and you know he's going to get the role right for most part. If it's Harvey Milk or, you know, right on down the line, if it's in Mystic River.
Sure.
Madonna's boyfriend.
He's a professional.
he's had some missteps. But
Matt,
I,
you got a word?
Part, yeah, so he's the one that set the whole thing in motion with Darth Vader. So my word for him would be, no!
Wait, what are you talking about?
You're talking in Mystic River, right?
Mystic River, the whole yeah. Dolly Crane shot where they, like, pan up and he's just shouting no, like over dramatically.
Yeah, I like that movie, Mystic River.
It's it's a great movie.
Sure. Yeah. Now, we threw this out to the Jawheads just a few minutes ago. We get some responses.
Yeah, we did. So, Oh the Mystery says, how about Loud? The guy's always on a mission.
Yeah, Loud movies, I guess, you know, a term to use as far as his movies sort of mean something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, yep. P.S. says, Telekinetic. That one baffles me. I mean,
we throw that one over to Jonathan Finn.
Telekinetic,
yeah.
That sounds like some Madonna weird, like.
You're stuck on this whole Madonna thing.
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, like, he dated Madonna. I think that stays with you. I'm not saying it's herpes necessarily, but, like, it stays with you for a while. Like, but he's just a weird guy, you know, like, he beat up the paparazzi. Like, I remember him again. Like, he's kind of been out of the scene for a while. Am I wrong? Like, what has he done for me lately? It's like, seriously.
Oh, he comes around and still does some
yeah,
decent
stuff. Yeah,
he's
been doing something at least every 2-3 years. Milk was
okay,
pretty recent.
Fine.
Yeah,
well,
Milk,
no,
won the,
like,
Academy
Seth
Award
Rogen,
for
who's in every movie that's coming out. You know, like, geez. If I
did
was
you
Sean,
see that one where they're all playing themselves, and it's actually coming out next
saw
year?
The previews during the last one. It's called The End of the World or some
it's,
stuff
This
like
is
that.
The End or something.
This is the End of the World or something. I did see the previews, and it was I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We'll throw the exact title of that in the jaw box. That's the segment where Elias looks up all the facts.
Throw it in the box.
You know, it seemed kind of, it was very meta. So it was like James Franco and Seth Rogen and a couple other celebrities. And it was the end of the world and it's the apocalypse and no one knew. And they woke up and it had like a hangover quality. But it was very meta and self-referential, which I kind of like, but if you don't do it right, it can really, like, bomb.
Yeah,
sure.
You know? It's either going to be The Hangover or it's going to be Pineapple Express.
Yeah. Exactly.
What else you got there from the Jawheads?
All right. Michelle Wren says Deep.
Again, Deep.
Yeah.
He's a deep actor.
All right.
Goes with sort of professional. He's deep, you
maybe
know?
She's had sex with him.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, could be.
Maybe she talked to Madonna.
Yeah, right.
Mark Hearn, our buddy Mark Hearn, says Variable. Yeah, I like that, too. He's like sort of the wild,
sure, the X Factor. Yeah, I can see
I like
that.
It. Yeah, sure.
And he's got range. That
he
could
does.
Be what he,
that's another good thing about Sean Penn.
It's true. And you know, like, when you play a retarded guy, like, that really shows you got range. Like, you have to do that. Like, Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump, Sean Penn.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio,
Leonardo
Gilbert
DiCaprio,
Grape.
Yeah. Barbara Streisand. Again, like, these people.
Oh, all right, boy. and then Ryan B, no relation, says Spicoli.
Nice.
It had to be said.
Yes.
Come on, that's a classic. Like, it that's is, a classic
and it sticks with
character.
Him.
Whoa, Mr. Hand. That was the guy's name, right? The teacher? Pretty sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think
oh,
right, yeah.
Throw it in the jaw box.
Throw it.
The teacher in Fast Times at Ridgemont High that gave Spicoli all the hard times. That was Mr. Hand. I'm almost positive.
All right, we throw that into the jaw box.
When you want to want some facts that rocks, jaw box. What do you think?
We're gonna use that every week now.
Very similar. But
we got it on tape, Jonathan. And yep. Maybe you didn't see the contract ahead of time, but anything you say into the microphone on Cinema Jaw is our property.
Hey, that's
so
fine.
That
you
is
guys,
nice.
You guys can have that little golden nugget on me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. We are getting to our top five favorite Armageddon movies. You got a jingle for that?
Doomsday Death.
I love it. Jonathan, you're getting to start it this week with your number five pick for Doomsday movies.
Oh, jeez. You know what? Again, I'm going to go with the comedic pick because I do like the comedy. I really like Shaun of the Dead. And I was like wondering like how like the zombie level movies, but I guess how apocalyptic is zombies, you know? So I think you really got to consider the zombie genre. And I do have other zombie movies on my list, but I particularly like Shaun of the Dead because it was very well done, and the acting was really cool. It was realistic. It was comedic, and that walked a fine line of like gross and realistic, but like over the top comedic. Like no way would this happen. So I
love it.
That.
I love it.
Oh, I can't take any.
Comes up a lot of times on Cinema Jaw.
It's not a question of am I going to have a zombie movie on my list, Jonathan. It's how many.
And that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Nice pick. Way to get us started, Matt. We swing it over to you. What do you got sitting at five?
All right, the 1979 Australian sci-fi classic, Mad Max. I think this. Could be, you can kind of put this up there with the zombie movies as far as sort of defining the apocalypse genre, you know, where there's no fuel left, that sort of thing. I mean, it also launched the career, for better or for worse, of Mel Gibson.
For better, come on.
Well, for a long time, we would say for better. These days, maybe for worse. But, I mean, Mad Max is an undeniable classic.
I agree. It's been too long since I've seen it, too. I mean,
it's been about 10 years for
me. It's been probably double that for me. Long time since I've seen Mad Max.
I was a kid, but it's definitely time to rewatch Mad Max, and this episode is sort of inspiring me to do so.
Nice pick.
It was on my list, too, so that's a really good pick. And I like Tina Turner, man. She's hot in that, man.
That was Thunderdome.
Yeah,
that was
still,
a sequel.
But I relate them to the whole thing, to whole the genre, the whole lot.
And I actually did that with my number five pick.
A whole trilogy?
Yeah, more or less. But I highlighted the 2003 film Terminator 3.
Really? Over T2?
Well, the reason I did is because this is where you actually see Judgment Day take place at the end of the film. And I think going into it, I thought the movie was going to sort of suck because it was going to be the third one and they were adding Nick Stahl and Claire Danes, which seemed just like desperation. But yet it was pretty solid film action-wise, even though it followed the formula of the first two. But I thought the ending, they would maybe try to change the storyline, like Armageddon wasn't going to happen. But yet they didn't. They had the balls to go right through with it, and it ends with the two main characters in the bunker.
Yeah.
And I thought right there sort of sold me on saying, hey, big thumbs up for this movie and sticking with it. But that really encompasses all the Terminators, T2 as well.
Can't take that away from you, man. Yeah.
That was my number five.
Solid.
T3, we throw it into our fours. Talk to me, Jonathan.
You know what? This one's going to be kind of cheesy, but I like it. It's Independence Day. And again,
cheesy.
it totally is. But you know what? I like it just because that was the first movie where I saw like the special effects of the apocalyptic White House being blown up and all those like landmarks being blown up is from a special effects point of view. And I know they've gotten so much better since then. And I had like, you know, like a movie like 2012 on the list, you know, like I saw that and the special effects were good, but I couldn't even like include that on the list because that's too like spot on. But this one I thought like, I don't know, it's got so many memorable moments.
Yeah.
And
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
It's not that
Will
memorable.
Smith says to the alien.
Yeah, right? And then the whole like speech at the end, the president's speech at the end, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It just came up recently in another episode.
Best presidents.
Presidents, yeah.
Nice pick, Jonathan. Nice pick. Matt, what do you got it for?
So the Danny Boyle British horror film, and everyone probably knew this was going to be on my list, zombie movie, arguably, 28 Days Later.
No doubt. I thought this would land on your list. I thought maybe even higher.
It's more of like a contagion sort of virus movie than a straight up zombie flick. There is that zombie element, but they're more, they even call them in the movie the infected. They're not zombies. They're not the living dead. They're still living, breathing humans, I guess. But they're infected with the rage virus, so they're dead for all intents and purposes.
And you just have to love the opening sequence in that movie when he comes out of the hospital and there's nobody around.
Oh yeah,
one of my favorites.
Yeah, they've mirrored that, and maybe this wasn't the first movie to do it. And I don't even think the Jawbox is going to be able to come up with this fact, but they've mirrored that in a lot of movies where like people are in Times Square and Times Square is abandoned,
right?
And stuff like that. I think Vanilla Sky. Yeah, sure. I mean that's just so creepy. He's out in London. And there's nobody around, you know?
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
That was more horrific than seeing the creatures, you know?
Right, I agree.
How do they film that? Like, how do you shut down New York City or London where you get...
Money.
I guess you're right. I guess that's what it takes.
That's budget. That's all it is, man.
No doubt. Swings us into my number four. And at number four, I have a film that came out last year, 2011. I'm speaking of... and I actually wasn't a huge fan of it, but when we're talking Armageddon movies, in that sense, I am. Melancholia.
I knew you would have this on your list.
Kirsten Dunst in the Lars von Trier film. And it obviously is more a film about depression, as we have the end of the world sequence coming up with a rogue planet, actually, Matt, is sort of hidden behind the sun. And it's actually in the path of the Earth and is going to collide with the Earth. And I think why I like it when it comes to Armageddon is I've never seen it depicted so bleak. The characters in the movie are just hopeless as they wait around for the end of the world together. And that's really sort of doubles in with looking at depression in people and too much shaky cam for me overall. And I didn't like the movie in general. But
Yes, you did. No, what are you talking about?
I didn't. I gave it a hard time. A lot of people had it in their top tens and loved the movie and number one this, but I did not. I wouldn't go that far. But when it comes to Armageddon movie, Melancholia did it for me.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say one way or another.
I haven't seen it. Sounds sad, though.
Yeah, it's called Melancholia. Definitely
very depressing.
That was my little joke.
Unbelievable. We swing into our threes. Pick us up, Jonathan. What do you got at number three?
You know, actually, my number three was Mad Max. So I think that's they
you
defined. They defined. You know, I don't know if I could sub. I would say probably Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead, another zombie movie, like awesome, classic.
Sure.
That leads right into my number three.
Oh boy, what do you got at three, Matt?
At number three, I just have The Works of George A. Romero. Because I couldn't choose one.
The whole entitled Works. I like that.
Yeah, boy, boy, talk about cheating.
So, no, when you think about it, I mean, really, can you pick just one? Can you pick just one? No, you can't.
You can pick one of your, you can pick just one.
No, you can.
Sure you can.
No, when it comes to the apocalypse, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, even Land of the Dead, and even then you can go to the Crazies and some of his other stuff.
Wow.
I mean, George A. Romero, master of the apocalypse. I mean,
we'll let you slide here, Matt.
That's such a vague answer. Like that's like me like being on a test, and the answer is, what is 2 + 2? And I say numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like technically, I'm right.
You're right. You're right.
All right.
Is it vague? Perhaps.
All right.
But for me, I couldn't pick.
All right. At number three on mine, though, Matt, I one-up you here. At number three, I have every movie released between 1984 and 1999.
Well done.
All right, let's get real here. At number three, I have a film that came out in 2007, written by Stephen King, The Mist.
No, what number is that for you?
Number three.
That's my number two.
Wow, there we go. It was directed by your buddy, Frank Darabont.
Yeah, I mean, he directed Shawshank Redemption, the first season of Walking Dead. He's a master.
And you know what? I didn't particularly care for the beginning of the movie when they were all talking. I always laughed how everybody calls it a mist when I would call it a fog. But they were all in that grocery store. And all that part, I would just say at that point, it was like a CC Plus movie. Where it really opens up is once they get out of the grocery store, there's these monsters that were
that's
in the mist.
That's only the last 15 minutes
of
the movie.
That's what changed it for me at all. Like, oh my God. Goodness, and of course the ending of the film is unbelievable.
I mean, like I watched this when I was sitting on the couch with my wife, and new parents, and that's all I'm going to say.
With your iPad watching it.
No, we were
iPad.
Watching on the TV, right?
Well done.
You snob. So we're watching the film, and then, you know, the ending happens, which I won't spoil, but as a parent, and I'll just warn you, if you are a parent, maybe you want to skip this one. It's harrowing. Harrowing. I mean, like, struck me to the core, and I was like, that's awesome. And my wife was like, I never want to see that movie again. I really wish I hadn't seen it in the first place.
Wow.
It was,
wow.
It's...
That's my number three, The Mist.
The Mist. Have you seen this one, Jonathan?
I have not.
Put it on your
queue. I've seen the previews. Yeah, I'm going to check that out, The Mist. Anything that's that harrowing and like going to be damaged children, I'm all over.
It'll screw you up for life.
I'm down.
We're into our number twos. Jonathan, shock us.
You know, again, like, I have a soft spot, and I pick certain movies for, like, really stupid reasons. So I'm going to go with my number two is I Am Legend.
I think
it was really cool. It was, there's a lot of space and silence in that movie, which I like. I like movies without a lot of dialogue that give, you know, and I like the dog. The dog was the coolest part of that movie, and you want the dog to live, and then the dog dies, and it sucks, but it was still fun.
But for sure, the dog did a better performance in the film than Will Smith.
I think you're right.
I agree.
I absolutely think you're right.
I didn't care at all if Will Smith died, but it was the dog.
That was the animatronic dog, you know, and the animatronic dog was still better than Will Smith.
I got to say that I like the human element. The creatures were disappointing to me.
Yeah, you know, that is a really good assessment. You're right. They kind of skimped because they spent so much money getting that awesome acting dog.
Yeah. That's where all the budget went to the dog.
I love it. Good pick, Matt. What do you got at two?
At two, I had The Mist. Nothing more to add there. So, if I had to sub one out, and I won't talk about it in depth, I would go with WALL-E.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's a good one. Interesting choice.
That'd be a sub out. So,
nice pick. My number two is War of the Worlds.
Really?
Now, I've seen both
number
the
two?
1953 version and, of course, the Tom Cruise-Steven Spielberg collaboration in 2005. I just sort of listed both. It's the same more or less story and concept.
Yeah, pretty
but
much.
But obviously, it's just a whole lot more special effects than the Tom Cruise vehicle. But I did like the fact in Tom Cruise film, the tripods or the pods that the aliens were in were actually buried in the ground, if you'll remember. And who knows when they were there for thousands of years. And they find out that watching these lightning strikes, that the lightning was actually transporting the aliens down into the pods. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty cool concept. And the whole vapor gun that the aliens
turned them into ash.
That was pretty awesome. And
that was pretty cool.
Tim Robbins is pretty good in there, a supporting role.
Yeah, I mean, the movie had its high points. It had its strengths.
Yeah, definitely cheaped out not killing his son. It seemed like his son was going to die.
Like,
and then his son's there with his aunt at the end.
Just
it's like,
in a townhouse.
Gag me now. Yeah, it just really ruined the whole thing. It was like one of those movies all the way up until that point. It was like a B, maybe a B plus, and then the ending happens. It's like, it's a C minus.
I agree.
My number two, though, War of the Worlds. We are into our number ones. Jonathan, what is your favorite Armageddon movie?
I'm going to tell you something, and this is a new movie that just came out, and it's probably the scariest movie I've ever seen. It freaked me out. It is truly the end of the world. Guilt Trip. No, seriously. This is a movie, all right? I had to sit here and watch the preview for that. I haven't seen it. I'll be honest. I haven't even
I was going to say.
But I'm already saying it is the worst movie, and it is the apocalypse itself. It's freaking Barbra Streisand and Seth Rogen in a buddy road trip movie. That in and of itself signals the end of the world. So I know it's a little bit avant-garde for my number one pick, but I'm telling you, guys, it wasn't December 21st. It's like whenever this movie is coming out.
Yeah, it's out. So it is out in theaters. And that is actually why we're doing Barbra Streisand, Seth Rogen movie trivia, because of Guilt Trip. I love it.
Well
what
done.
A pick. What a pick.
Thank you.
Well done, Jonathan. Matt, what do you got sitting at number one? Can you top a Streisand?
It's going to be tough, man, because I agree with Jonathan. That is the one of the seven signs, I'm sure. But I'm going with Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I mean, this movie tops a lot of lists, right? It could top a sci-fi list. It could top a paranoia list. But I think End of the World coming from within and that scene. And my favorite one is the 78 one with, what's his name, Donald Sutherland, where he just screams into the camera at the end. Still to this day, like, I can't look at Donald Sutherland and not think of that
He's got that curly hair.
Yeah.
When you, every time you're out with him, you can't look him in the eye.
No. I'm like, Don, just go away, dude. I can't look at you,
you know, I like that movie. They did a spoof on that movie, Invasion of the Booty Snatchers. I also recommend that very much.
You know, we're going to do, I think, at some point.
Spoofs.
Not spoofs. Like porn adaptations.
That'd be funny, yeah.
I mean, they did one for Harry Potter.
They could be sponsored by Movie Ass. You know, like, when you want to talk about flicks and dicks, Movie Ass.
Jeez, I hope they're not listening to this one.
I know. I agree.
Dude, you can't buy that kind of stuff.
Good pick, Matt, with the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. At my number one, and the reason I picked it is probably looking at all the lists and even all the films mentioned today, all of them I still look at and don't really get scared too much about the plot or the storyline.
Okay.
But in my number one here, actually got underneath my skin, freaked me out. Came out last year. I'm speaking of Contagion.
Really?
Okay. Contagion.
Yes. And where Outbreak, Matt, was like an action film based on the idea of a virus spreading all over the world, and they tried to confine it here. This film is actually about the fear it would cause on a global scale. And with the world so connected how it is now, it makes so much sense that something could start in maybe Tokyo and on a quick plane ride could pass over to New York, Chicago.
Somebody posted on their Facebook page, and then it's...
No, what are you talking about? Jeez, man,
that's just how, you know,
stuff.
We're connected. Boom, I don't know.
You know what? You're totally right, though. When I saw that movie, it translated that idea of how quickly and how rapidly it'll spread, and it did freak me out. My girlfriend, who's sitting next to me, is a germaphobe. And like she like was definitely freaked
Did
out
because
it showed like
okay.
you know like when you touch a doorknob and
right.
then you know you cough on your hand and then you sneeze you touch your face. Did you know you touch your face like 200 times like
right.
per hour?
I think
yeah.
they actually you know, have that number in the movie.
They do.
Yeah, and it's so weird. So like that movie like I think depicted that pretty in a way that made you kind of freak out.
Right, right. And you know I went and saw this movie. I told a story on the job before. I took public transportation to see the movie and had to take
it
home.
The worst.
And you know, we always have a bunch of loonies here in Chicago, and they talk to you here and there, but never, probably never, maybe once before in my whole entire life did any one of these loonies on a total random reach out and touch me while he's talking to me. But so help me God, if it didn't happen right after I saw Contagion, this homeless guy is asking me for something, and he reaches up and he touches me on like my shoulder and neck to like whisper into my ear. I stumble backwards. I run into like the bus stop sign. I'm like, get away from me. Then I get on the bus and everybody's coughing. I get on the L. People are sneezing.
Yeah, you
like,
notice
oh
it. Yeah, yeah, you totally notice it.
So for that reason, it freaked me out the most as far as a doomsday type scenario, a virus wiping itself.
I'll say this. It's good for a scare, and you're definitely right. It gets under your skin. But come on, that movie is not a number one movie, man.
Well, I mean, we're picking you know, Armageddon type movies. I don't like zombie movies that much, so I had to go a route that something
All
got
right.
me. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, so.
All right.
There you go.
Fair.
That was our number one. So if you got Twitter pulled up, Jawheads, and we missed one of your favorite Armageddon movies, shoot us a tweet, at CinemaJaw. Let us know what we missed.
Real quick, I just want to say, I had an alt number one. It was between Guilt Trip and Beaches.
Just really? Like, Beaches? Come on,
Beaches.
Dude.
No,
Beaches.
Seriously.
Really?
Nope.
I thought for sure he was going Yentl.
My heart for
I thought for sure he was going Yentl. All right.
You know what? That was my number three, and I don't. That sounds like I set that up, but it really was. It really was number three.
I got honorables.
One. You got one to mention.
Oh, man. This is tough. Okay, fine. It's like choosing between my kids.
Give two.
All right. I'm going to go with nine, which is one of the ones we talked about in our very first episode, and The Matrix.
All right.
Matrix is a good choice.
Nice choice, Matt.
Those are my honorables.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a cinema war looking at what was the biggest movie breakout of 2012, plus Matt versus Jonathan Finn in Barbra Streisand, Seth Rogen movie trivia. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with the CinemaJaw Movie Fact. The casting of Kenneth Welsh as the vice president in The Day After Tomorrow was controversial due to his physical resemblance to the then U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney. However, director Roland Emmerich insisted on it for that very reason, admitting that the characters of the president and vice president were intended to be criticism of the Bush-Cheney administration's opposition to the Kyoto Protocol for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And that is your CinemaJaw Movie Fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, hanging out with comedian Jonathan Finn. Before we go any further, we got to go to the Jaw Box. We threw a few items into the Jaw Box. Let's open that Jaw Box up. Elias, what's going on in the Jaw Box?
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
Thank you guys very much. Also, thank Jonathan for the jingle that he provided.
It was quite fantastic.
Thank you very much. At first, I was a little bit afraid you were talking about licking chicks, licking random items. I was afraid you were going to lick my box, which, you know.
Hey, man, if it's got teeth, I'm staying away from that box.
Yeah.
You never know with Elias's box.
You think that's dirty, but then you heard Matt talk about being in the hobbit hole with Frodo.
It's my precious.
All right. Anyway, let's get to the Jaw Box here. One of the first things you guys threw in, what is the new end of the world movie with Jonah Hill and all those guys? It's called This Is the End. And that is that has a cameo by my future wife, Emma Watson.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter fame.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about licking boxes there.
Okay. Whoa.
So then, and the next thing is, Matt, you were correct. It is Mr. Hand who is the teacher.
Oh.
That's right.
A couple quick things I noticed while listening. You guys listed Vanilla Sky as one of the movies that Times Square was empty. And also I Am Legend was another one where it was emptied. And also the Ryan got mad for the Hobbit singing. In The Hobbit, or the dwarf singing in The Hobbit. But, you know, in the Lord of the Rings books, there were many singing instances, and they weren't included in the movie. I mean, give them a break.
That's right.
Well, I'm going on
that's right.
All right. Well, good thing they weren't in the Lord of the Rings, too. Jeez.
They even have the lyrics in The Hobbit book.
All right. Time to close the box.
All right. Whoa. All right.
Put them back in there. Get Elias back in the Jaw Box.
Get in there.
Jaw Box. Oh, boy. Matt, it brings us to a segment we call
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this. This is where me and Matt bet on a topic each week. And our guest this week, Jonathan Finn, gets to play judge and jury and tell the Jawheads who he thinks won this Cinema War.
Yes.
And it's very important, too, Jonathan, because me and Matt are battling for 20 seconds of precious jaw time and rave on whatever we want. Elias, tell the Jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic is, will 2012 be remembered as the year of the Avengers or the year of Bond? Matt, you'll be fighting for the Avengers. Rye, you'll be fighting for Bond, James Bond. Let the Cinema War begin.
Obviously, Matt, the Avengers was a huge triumph, but the core of its success was pleasing its fanboys. Meanwhile, James Bond broke through his own fan base and became relevant again amongst all filmgoers, young and old.
I don't think there's $350 million worth of fanboys out there, but maybe there is. Before I go into how awesome the Avengers was and how many records it broke and how it was the culmination of a never-before-attempted project to bring comic book continuity to the silver screen, I'll tell you that the one word that will make any argument you have null and void is the word the. The year of Bond? No. Just another year of Bond. A good one, sure, but the year? No.
Matt, you're a comic fan first, so I can see how you could be blinded on this argument. But for movie fans like myself, The Avengers was just another loud, action-packed superhero film with not much to say. Bond, meanwhile, changed with the times, Matt, updating the plot to take on a cyber terrorist.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Bond's 20-something films span the course of decades, making for some interesting fashion and political climates. But this is just a year like any other in that series. What makes it so special, Rye?
Well, I'll tell you, Matt, a better villain always means a better movie. And Skyfall had Javier Bardem as the creepy Silva. Easily the best villain of the year. The action was full octane, and there was not a guy in tights anywhere around. Skyfall was edgy, real, and just flat out cool.
Bond might as well wear tights. I mean, come on. The Avengers crushed at the box office, shutting the mouths of many naysayers, Rye the movie guy, and even besting Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight finale, James Who.
Well, I'll tell you, Matt, talk about big. Skyfall was the biggest Bond film of all time, a series that spans 50 years. $285 million in U.S. box office, with a total worldwide take of $1 billion, billion with a B. Plus, it had the best movie song of the year, thanks to Adele. 2012, Matt, was shaken and stirred because of James Bond's Skyfall.
Really, you're the only person who believes this. The bottom line is this. Bond's great, and I really did like Skyfall. I like the song, too, but I still think Casino Royale is the best Bond film, and Avengers is absolutely the best Marvel film to date, and it was so adept at doing the impossible, and you even you have to give that one to me. Avengers Assemble.
Adventures Assemble. Oh, boy, Matt, you had to end it with that.
I did.
All right, we're button heads here. Jonathan, this was a difficult cinema war. As you could tell, Matt's really passionate about his men in tights, and I love my James Bond drinking his martinis. What did you think of this cinema war?
Matt is passionate about men in tights. I know this for a fact. And guys, this one for me is very easy. And I haven't seen either movie.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
But I don't even need to. And let me tell you, it's not based on how much money the movie makes, although both movies have made a lot of money. It's the biggest Bond film ever. The Avengers has got all the biggest superheroes ever. They're blockbusters. And I know you guys listening right now can't see me, but I've had people tell me that I look a little bit like Daniel Craig. Right?
Yeah, I can see.
I look like
a
fat Daniel Craig.
I was going to say you look like the Hulk.
I'm like a 40-pound overweight Daniel Craig. I'm Daniel Craig's like older brother, even though I'm younger than him. I'm like an older, like out of shape Daniel Craig. I'm not 007. I'm double XL. Right? Like, my nemesis isn't Goldfinger. It's Butterfinger. Okay? The only queen that I serve is Dairy Queen.
This guy's on a roll.
Yeah.
So I say that I judge that this is the year of James Bond.
Yes.
And let me just
really?
Say.
Yes. Woo!
That is my verdict. That is my gavel. And look, it's actually a drink.
That is awesome.
Shaken, not stirred.
Thank you.
And I pounded as my gavel Bond all day long.
Wonderful. Thank you. Matt, I am on a roll here. That must be four cinema wars in a row at least.
Maybe you'll get to 10 and you'll do a little dance.
Thank you, Jonathan. I am going to spend my 20 seconds ranting and raving about how long it takes movies to get started these days in the theater. You go in there for a 12:20 or be at a 7:30 show, and next thing you know, you're barraged with commercials to join the Army, the Marines. They tell you to silence your phone 10 times, and then you got to sit through 15 previews. Enough already. Start them a little bit earlier and start the show time at the printed time so people know when the movie's actually starting and not the advertisements.
Well done.
Enough said.
I like the previews.
Yeah.
I like
the previews. All right. Before we get to trivia, Jonathan versus Matt in Barbra Streisand, Seth Rogen movie trivia. Two quick DVD reviews for you. Savages, Oliver Stone's latest film, dives into the world of drugs, specifically marijuana. Taylor Kitsch, Blake Lively, and Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's kick-ass, are in a threesome relationship. The two friends, Ben and Sean, grow up they grow and distribute marijuana. Their lives are good. This is until the Mexican cartel demands they join their group and teach their growers how to make the perfect product. When they refuse, the cartel kidnaps their girlfriend. Benicio del Toro pops up as a cartel enforcer, while Selma Hayek plays the leader of the cartel. I have to admit, Matt, she is not so believable in this role. The film's violent and, for the most part, kept my attention. However, it runs a little long at 2 hours, and the ending is a bit of a letdown. Ride the movie guy's grade, 2.5 Jaws, mildly recommending The Savages.
I've heard a lot of people kind of diss it for the exact same reasons. So
it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Come on.
I swear to God, I like Oliver Stone a lot. I'm a big fan. That movie was crap. Seriously, it was crap. I like the part about the guys growing weed and smoking weed.
This
is both banging a hot chick. That part like held my attention. The weed and they're rich and they're good looking and they're banging. That held my attention. The acting. And who's the chick, the mafia chick?
Yeah, Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
Yeah, I was saying just miscast.
Horrible.
Yes, totally.
Horrible, dude.
Yeah, and the whole idea of her talking on the computer and switching her voice. So just didn't buy any of that.
Stupid.
And I actually don't like in films where they rely on everything happening through the computers. They can see everything that's going on to the torture.
That's
like, come
dumb.
On.
And it's never
already.
Realistic. Yeah. Like the computer, the graphics they show that them typing, like think of like Matrix. Like he's just like click, and there's just like green things happening. Like they're not actually doing anything. You know, like. Sorry.
Yeah. One other one out there. This is a smaller one, sort of a hidden gem, if you will. Thin Ice. Greg Kinnear plays a crooked insurance salesman who decides to steal a valuable violin from an older client of his, played by Alan Arkin. Things get complicated when an alarm technician, played by Billy Crudup, finds out. He wants in on it when they sell the violin. That's just the start of this. Things get worse. And then worse, and then even worse. Soon there's a dead guy, and the police have an investigation going on. Seek out this small gem as the story throws you a few twists that you will not see coming. This is Fargo-esque material. Ride the Movie Guys grade 3.5 Jaws for Thin Ice.
Wow.
Love this one.
Never saw the movie, but I have played the game. You remember that game, Thin Ice, where you set up the thing and you have to set up the blocks of ice in the little frame and then you have the mallet.
Yeah, the little hammer.
And then you hammer the pieces of ice. That was called Thin Ice.
I was just thinking
it's not related, but I just wanted to hear myself speak.
Wonderful. Maybe Vanilla Ice could do an exercise video and call it Thin Ice.
Yeah, I like that. Ding, 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 ding.
Why not Ice Cube?
Yeah, he could do it too. Yeah, right. You know, even... There's got to be another rapper.
Ice
Thank you.
Ice tea with cocoa. She
Boy, out of the jaw box. Shut that box over there. All right.
Thin
Ice. There's a movie out in honor of Jonathan Finn's number one dystopia film.
Doomsday film.
Guilt Trip. And it's out in theaters. We are playing Barbra Streisand, Seth Rogen movie trivia. To decide who goes first, it's a new segment, sort of newer, that we call Cinema Feud. Think Family Feud.
Okay.
We reached out to over 25 jawheads. We polled them. The top three answers are on the board. We throw it over to Jonathan. Name a Matt Damon movie.
Bourne Supremacy.
We'll give them the Bourne all in one. Bourne Supremacy. Bourne Supremacy, good answer. We throw it on the board. Survey says... Number two, with 19% of all the vote. Well done, Matt. You got one movie that could top it. Name a Matt Damon movie.
Good Will Hunting.
Whoa. Wow, Matt, we throw that one up. Good Will Hunting, survey says. Number one.
It's
well
number
done,
one.
Matt.
Nice.
Come on.
38% of the vote. You guys did not get number three. I don't know if there's any guesses. Survey says...
The talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes, the talented Mr. Ripley came in with 14% of the vote.
Believe it or not.
No, Matt, you won that Cinema Feud, so you get to choose if you want to go first or let Jonathan go first.
I'll go first, Jonathan.
Okay. All right, question number one over to Matt in Barbra Streisand, Seth Rogen movie trivia.
Jesus.
Question one, Matt. Barbra Streisand and Dustin Hoffman played Ben Stiller's parents in this 2004 comedy sequel.
Oh, that was Meet the Fockers.
1-0, Matt K. Question
Softball.
Number two.
Sorry.
Question number two over to Jonathan.
It was. It's a layup.
Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks starred in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Who directed the film? You do have a lifeline. Our producer, you can take a trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez, our engineer,
and no
will
help.
You out.
No help from the old lady.
Who directed Zach and Miri Make a Porno?
It's not Judd Apatow, right?
Poker face.
I'm going to say that Seth Rogen directed it.
Wow, Matt, chance for a steal. Do you know who directed it?
Yeah, the Smod father himself, Kevin Smith.
Oh, you know, you're right. I should have known that. You're right.
2-0, Matt K takes a commanding lead, and question number three is over to him. In Superbad, Seth Rogen plays Officer Michaels. What actor plays his partner in the film, Officer Slater?
Jesus, I don't know.
It was Seth Rogen and who as the officers?
Oh, man, I can't remember that dude's name. It was on SNL, I'm pretty sure. All right, I'll go. Yeah, I could get a good lead going here. I'll go to the ER.
Whoa, he takes a trip to the ER. We throw it over to Ari here. Elias, help him out with a clue.
Okay, Matt, just to let you know, these clues are predetermined, and your clue is SNL actor.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. SNL actor what?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. You suck, Elias.
Sorry about that. Hey, whoa,
nice clue, Elias.
You suck, whoever wrote this. Rye the movie guy.
All right. Any guess, Matt, in Superbad, what actor played Officer Slater?
Tim Meadows. I don't know
got
the guy's
chance
name.
For a steal here.
I have no idea because I didn't see the movie.
It's not a black guy.
I'm going to guess Jonah Hill because he's in everything.
Jonah Hill was the kid.
He was. Superbad. He was in the movie.
I didn't see the movie.
We were looking for SNL actor Bill Hader.
Oh, SNL actor. I didn't even think about that. Bill Hader. Wow. Yeah, that guy.
Still 2-0. And question
Poor
number
Bill
four.
Hader.
I know, right? Got a lot of haters.
Question number four is over to Jonathan. In 1973's The Way We Were, Barbara Streisand has a romance with this legendary actor.
Okay, in a movie that came out before I was born. Yeah, I don't know.
1973, Barbara Streisand has a romance with this legendary actor. You do have a trip to the ER if you want
to. I will
use
take
it.
A trip to the ER.
Whoa!
Like right now.
Who starred in that movie with Barbara Streisand, Elias?
All right. Your clue, Jonathan, is he's a natural.
Natural.
Oh, I am going to go with Robert Redford.
Why can't I get a clue like that?
You got a softball the first one.
It is 2-1. Jonathan's right back into this. Question number five is over to Matt. Seth Rogen starred in Knocked Up alongside this lady who delivers lines in a movie.
Katherine Heigl.
3-1. 3-1, Matt K. Question number six is over to Jonathan. Oh, boy, another Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand directed and starred alongside this actor in 1991's The Prince of Tides. I believe he was nominated for an Academy Award for this. This is off the top of my head. The Prince of Tides, 1991.
Can I take another trip to the ER?
You sort of look like him, but you're a thinner version of him.
Thinner version
and younger.
Of somebody.
Yeah, oh, a thinner, younger that? Version of him.
Oh, my God. That doesn't leave many people up there. John Goodman? I don't know.
Oh.
Let me see. I can't take a trip to the ER, can I?
No.
No, I don't have any insurance. what year was it? I would try to guess.
1991.
Barbara Streisand produced the movie?
She directed it and starred.
And starred in it. It was The Prince of Tides?
Yep. Who was the actor in it?
Oh, you know, I'm going to say that guy from... what is his name? It's not Gary Busey, but he kind of looks like
you're on
like
the
him.
Same point. You're on the right.
Like
yeah, there
Nick
you
Nolte.
Go.
Yes. I look like a thinner, younger Nick Nolte. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah, doesn't he? He looks like a little bit of a younger Nick Nolte.
If I can be somewhere in
no,
between,
he
like, dude, if I can be somewhere in between a fat James Bond and a young Nick Nolte, I'll take it.
To be fair, he does, but. Rye was giving him like Walgreens like healthcare advice or whatever because he didn't take a trip to the ER, but he got some clues from Rye. So Matt,
he's giving him Band-Aids.
That puts us at 3-2. He's right back in this. Matt, question number seven: Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen, Leslie Mann starred in this 2009 film about a comedian who learns he has terminal health condition.
Funny People.
Softball.
4-2, Matt K, and this ball game is over because this is the last question of the
that
game.
That was actually a tough one. Come on.
Come on. All right.
Jonathan, Seth Rogen voiced an alien in this 2011 film that starred Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
What?
Yeah.
See, Seth Rogen. Hey, Seth Rogen's been in every movie since 2011, so like, I just might as well pick one. And Seth Rogen, if you ever hear him, this is how he laughs. He's like... I hate the way Seth Rogen freaking laughs. Alien movie with Seth Rogen. Ah, jeez. You know what? I'm just going to have to say, like, I don't know.
Aliens versus Monsters. Really?
Yeah.
We were looking for Paul. Paul.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
The movie Paul. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
He was in Aliens versus Monsters.
I vaguely
though.
Remember that.
Matt wins this one 4-2. Well done, Matt. Ooh. Let's get a handshake. Let's get a handshake.
All right. Good job. Good
Jonathan,
job, man.
Jonathan, there was a jawbreaker, we call it, in case it came down to a tie. And it would have been over to you. Better singer, Barbra Streisand or Celine Dion?
I'm going to have to say Celine Dion.
Oh, that is incorrect. It's Barbra Streisand. Yeah. Yes. All right. The real jawbreaker was this. Age of Barbra Streisand closest to. Matt, you got a guess?
Yeah, she's getting on. She's getting on.
Put a number on Babs.
Babs is...
I'm going to guess first. She's 222 years old. I'm just saying.
I would say 68 years old.
68. You got a guess?
222.
222 and let me figure that out because it's closest to one above the three. Oh, yep, it's Matt. 70.
Whoa.
Barbra Streisand is 70.
She looks all right for 70. You know what? That's what being incredibly wealthy will give you.
Yeah, all looking the Botox. Good.
Yes,
that wants.
Everything. Little hyperbaric chambers.
We got to end this thing soon.
Yeah, yeah.
In a hurry,
guys.
It's a 12 pack of Bush Light down the drain here.
Hey, we got to thank our guest, Jonathan Finn. Again, Jonathan, where's the best place for the Jawheads listening at home to catch some of your videos and comedy?
You know, you just go to jonathanfinn.com, or you can go to youtube.com/jonathanfinn. Or if you really want to like help me out, you can go to indiegogo.com/jonathanfinn. And donate to my Indiegogo, and I'm trying to raise $20,000 so I can continue to create comedic content on the web and have money to pay my bills and whatnot. So, I appreciate it if you guys check me out.
Awesome. And we also got to thank our sponsors, MoviePass.
And the New 400.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Check out what's playing if you're in the Chicagoland Theater. The New 400 Theaters is one of the best. They're up in Roger Park, so check out what's playing at thenew400.com.
That's right.
So until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies. Jonathan, take us away.
When you want to see a movie and save some cash, you better freaking click moviepass.com/cinemajaw. When you want to see a movie and save some cash, you better freaking click moviepass.com/cinemajaw.